economic impacts that have been wrought by COVID-19 have meant businesses having to close with jobs lost in the process. There are many an entrepreneur who will have to deal with their seeming failure to keep their business doors open after everything they will have gone through to nurture that business, grow it, and create the associated jobs that came with it. But in the event that a business crashes in these times, entrepreneurs need to be open to the idea of dusting themselves off and trying again, bearing in mind the lessons of the past endeavours. Alan Ray is an entrepreneur himself who helps other entrepreneurs to thrive, and the CEO of Ray's Corp says there's no shame in starting again, and he joins me now on the line. Thanks very much, Alan, for joining us. So as many entrepreneurs deal with their business failure, in inverted commas, as a result of the pandemic and associated lockdown, while it's important for them to make that reflection, how important is it that it's not too long a drawn process?
Yeah, so for me, the question that I'm often asked is, when is it time to give up? And for me, for as long as you can ask different questions and get different answers, you carry on in your business. But what's been happening now is that for many, there are no more new questions and there are no more new answers. And at that point is the time to now consider starting again. And I talk about starting again, notice, and not giving up.
Yes. So COVID-19 is no one's fault, and yet its impacts on businesses that have had to shutter may result in business people or entrepreneurs no longer having confidence in their abilities. What would they need to overcome this fear, if you will?
Yeah, for me, the thing that entrepreneurs need to know is that this context provides new opportunities and a new place to express yourself as an entrepreneur. So for me, one can talk about the end of something or the beginning of something else. And it depends, for me, where your lens is. And what I watched is a stark difference between entrepreneurs who are focused on where's the opportunity versus those who are focused on, let me be defensive.
One of the things that you mentioned in your note about an entrepreneur's view of their business is that they must adopt an academic relationship with it. How do you mean, and what's the purpose?
Yeah, so for me, in a time like this, there's a lot of heightened emotions. It's a very passionate time. It's a very fearful time. There's a lot of emotion in all our decision making. So an academic relationship with your business is trying to be rational and look at the facts now. And that requires, first of all, consciousness, the fact that you are emotional now, and it's best rather to make decisions in a rational, unemotional state. And so the academic metaphor of looking at just the data, just the facts, understanding what your personal biases are, the stuff that you carry with you, your fears, in terms of influencing how you make decisions, needs to be left behind. And so for me, that's an academic relationship with the business right
now. Makes sense. So you likened being an entrepreneur and facing difficulties with one's business to that of the world of sport, and how the quicker one can recover from a setback, the more resilient they can be. Perhaps you can elaborate, share some examples.
Yeah, so if you look at all the world champions in all sports, they've all at some point or another been down or been injured. And it's either their mental recovery or their physical recovery that makes them great. It's how quickly they recover. And to me, the same applies for me as in entrepreneurial champions. So they fall down, they lick their wounds, they allow themselves a little time to be a little self-indulgent, and then they get on with it. They get up again and get on with it. Because this journey of entrepreneurship is filled with these times where you trip, you know, and where you fall. And it's about how quickly you get up and not just stay down there in a self-pity state for too long.
Yeah. Now, your main thesis is that, in fact, there is no shame in starting again. And you make an interesting observation about South African culture versus US entrepreneurial culture, for example, where you suggest that when South Africans fail, they're subject to so much more judgment and a lack of belief that they can actually bounce back.
Yeah, I actually got alerted to this by a synchronistic lunch with Professor Diane Francis, who is a Canadian working in America. And her whole sort of thesis was around the fact that there were two types of societies, shame-based societies and fear-based societies.
Hmm.
And shame-based societies had a lower rate of entrepreneurs re-entering as entrepreneurs after they failed. It's called the re-entry rate. And those with higher fear-based, those fear-based societies had a higher rate of return. So, and then I found a piece of research here in South Africa a few years ago, which showed South Africa at 1.1. In other words, we fail once and we never get up again, as opposed to America sitting at 3.6 times. And so, if you listen to our language, you go, somebody hurts themselves, they go, oh, shame, man. It's always shame, shame. We're a shame-based society. We shame failure in our language. We shame failure in our families. We shame family structurally. So if you fail, banks structurally impede you from coming back again. You are blacklisted and you impede it from coming back again. Whereas in other societies, it's not structurally as impeding as it is here in South Africa.
Mm. So we should have a culture where we say shame in the first second. Sorry about that, but get up.
Get up, and it's not shameful. It's not nice, but it's not shameful. If I fail after being successful for 10 years,
yes,
it's certainly not shameful. And especially now during COVID, this is not a shameful time for businesses to close down. This is there's no shame in it. It's just fact. There's no income. There's a system shock happening, and a lot of businesses are being affected by it. And it, to me, it's about now about what you do afterwards. And if you don't feel shame, you get to go, oh, well, that was interesting. And now you get up and try again. And yes, you'll have lost money. And yes, you'll feel a little less confident. But it's about that, like the champion, about standing up again.
Hmm. So as an entrepreneur reflects on some of the elements that may have hastened their business's demise during COVID-19, what sort of issues should they, you know, be taking stock of to try and ready themselves for another go in business with a view to better mitigating risks? Although the virus has taught all of us one thing, that you can't anticipate absolutely everything.
Yeah, so for me, I think one of the big things that was venerated by the business schools, etc., was this concept of leverage. And leverage means that you borrow a lot of money based on your balance sheet. For me, I think that's proven to be a very, very risky situation in an environment where you have high risk. You could literally get taken out.
Yes.
And the companies that I've seen that are doing well now, or are at least going to survive through this, are the ones with high levels of cash and low levels of debt.
Mm.
And so we're still going to see even big corporates, which are highly leveraged, collapsing, I believe, in the next 6 to 12 months.
Is that the only issue, that the issue of debt, or are there other...
No, there's plenty. It's also about diversification.
Yes.
It's about margin. It's about keeping customers always close. It's about not forgetting where your money comes from. I think what I've seen, a lot of businesses as they grow forget where they... Somehow they forget they've got a customer, and it's all about, you know, efficiencies are not about the customer.
Yes.
And it's been a massive wake-up call for a lot of businesses, including, by the way, a lot of small businesses who simply assume that tomorrow will be the same. And the law of impermanence is we're seeing it now. You know, for me, nothing is permanent.
Mm.
And so when you've got this mental concept of a burning platform, and that things are going to change, and what is good now doesn't mean that's going to be good tomorrow.
Yes.
And being almost paranoid, healthily paranoid about the future, about who's going to take me out, which competitor, what event will take me out.
Mm.
You then build a more resilient, more diverse organization.
Mm. And then, Alan, one last thing. What kind of work is RaiseCorp doing now with the businesses that it incubates or nurtures? Has your rule book been adjusted or amended in terms of the added guidance that you're now giving to entrepreneurs in light of COVID?
Yeah, a big part of what we do now is a program called Pivot. So our normal, we're basically working with the entrepreneurs to work out who's the new who, i.e. who's their new customers, what's the new what, the new processes, the new the or the product, sorry, their new processes, which is the new how, the new where, which is the new distribution, and the new me, which is the new how entrepreneurs have to reinvent themselves.
Mm.
That's the big work. We're working on basically model, changing the model and adapting the model to the new reality, which, by the way, is still in flux. So it's still very hard to work out where the tectonic plates might settle.
That was Alan Reyes. He's the CEO of Reyes Corp.